to mourn the passing of our beloved friend, Tom Carcel, and also to celebrate his life and the joy he brought into the life of each one of us. Kimberly, Bill and Deb, Elizabeth, and all the families have asked me to thank you for your presence here today and to tell you that it means the world to them that you're here to share both their grief and their gratitude. So today is a day of mourning, but also a day of celebration. Thank you all for being here. We begin our service today with a eulogy for Tom by his father, Bill Carcel.
Tom was born October 16th, 1973, on Long Island, New York. He learned to walk at 8 months. In 1977, we moved to Amarillo, Texas, where at 3 and a half, he taught himself to ride a bicycle without using training wheels. By age 13, he could go anywhere in the city on a skateboard through the storm sewers. In 1988, we moved here to Lakewood, and Tom took to the mountains. He loved the mountains. He went skiing and camping and hiking. He learned to rock climb, to rappel, learned to paraglide. He didn't tell his mom and me about that till later. He learned to ride mountain bikes, dirt bikes, street bikes. He'd kayak, and he learned to elk hunt. Tom was a brilliant carpenter. He was a perfectionist, and he took great pride in his work. He was very bright. Though dyslexic, he learned to read by memorizing the shapes of thousands of words. He read fiction avidly. By the fourth grade, he had a 12th grade vocabulary. In 2005, Tom married Kimberly and began the happiest period of his life. They built a beautiful house in the mountains where they lived with their two beloved rescue dogs, Sadie and Asha. Tom's heart was as big as his magnificent beard. He was absolutely loyal to his many friends. He was like a knight of the round table. He would fight injustice, whether to a friend or a stranger. And that was a hard role in an unjust world. At the end of 2009, Tom sought treatment for the depression that had plagued him his whole life. He was in some physical pain as well from recent and accumulated injuries, and I think his coping strategies may have lost much of their effectiveness by then. He didn't say much about it to anyone. On the night of January 8th, Tom ended his life.
Three of Tom's closest friends have a few remarks they would like to make at this time, and we begin with Sita Doyle and then Mark Porter and Chad Smith. Sita.
Tom was an amazing friend, loved one, and a great person. His profound smile and amazing laugh won the heart of everyone he met. You could count on Tom to be there in any given situation. He brought us joy, fun, friendship, and more importantly, taught us how to live life to its fullest. He was beautiful inside and out. Tom was my best friend, and I know I'm not alone, as many held him in that regard. The amazing thing about Tom was his ability to have a unique relationship with everyone he met. I feel blessed that I had that opportunity to know him and be his friend for so many years and wish that I had many more. We are all sad that he is no longer with us. Many are angry and do not understand how someone so full of life that brought so much happiness to all of us is no longer here. I would like to share a message that was sent to me by a colleague and a dear friend at work. This message has brought much comfort to me, and I hope it will bring the same to you. The message was, being there for someone else when they make their transition is a huge shock to the part of us that is here in the physical. The part of your friend that was so lost and alone has now remelded with the rest of his spirit and now understands and is at peace with his time here. Bless him. And bless you. Those who stand and act during a crisis don't have the luxury of understanding anything but the need for physical action to get them through the time span that they are alone working through the situation. I heard you had a chance to speak with your friend after his transition, and I very much hope that it brought an immense amount of comfort to you, which it did. She continues, this man held you in great esteem, Sita. So again, bless you for the part you had that night, and bless you for the comfort you're giving to others now. When you're ready, see if you could get your mind around the eternalness of human beings, of your friend, of yourself. Through all the earthly tragedy of your friend's life, whatever it was that he came here to do, he has finished. That has to be true because none of us ever crosses before our own time. Don't bother with prolonged questions of why or if I'd only. That's not what he wants from any of you. I swear this newly reunited spirit is trying his energetic best to comfort those he left behind. Try listening to him not as he was last week, but as he is now, Holy Spirit, light, and love. So I leave you all with this. Tom will always be with us, either in spirit, memories of lessons learned, great times, or simply his smile, laugh, or the light of his love. Tom, be at peace, my friend, and may all the love and blessings you are receiving help you on your journey. I look forward to seeing you when my time here is done. You owe me. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to feel like kind of a dolt. I'm not near as eloquent as Bill or Sita. But I can't remember the first time I met Tom. It was probably at Cactus Jack's, right? See this big burly guy come in once in a while, and sometimes he's riding an old Triumph that was too small for his frame. And I had to wonder, who was this guy with a hairy mug that seemed to have a smile for everybody? One afternoon, he's explaining away some scratches and bruises and how he and his bike made an unplanned exit off Brook Forest Road. And I realized this was a rider I could relate to. Early on, I was reminded of an old blues song. She got a ring in his nose and a ring on her hand. Later on, when I got to know Tom and Kimberly as a couple, I caught on to the fact that there was no one he would rather spend his time with than Mama and the girlies. During the last several years, we worked together and put a lot of miles on the bikes. Most of those miles were sober, others not so much. Most miles we chewed up 80 plus miles an hour. Others we were lucky to make 4 miles an hour. There was one exploratory trip to Gold Hill when halfway down a trail that was too narrow to turn around on, the lone dirt biker we saw just had to stop and ask if we were lost. We did charity poker runs, overnighters, rallies, or just bar hop in the front range with a multitude of friends. We rode. He was a kid brother I never had, even though I'm old enough to be his father. He was a man you knew had your back. Regardless of the stupidity you demonstrated getting into a situation, he was there. You needed a hand, a friend, he was the go-to guy. I didn't know Tom as well or as long as a lot of you, but I knew him well enough to realize now that I didn't know him long enough. My heart goes out to the families of Tom and Kimberly. As for me, our brothers and sisters in the wind, and everybody else whose life he touched, it was a great ride while it lasted. One never forgotten. Cheers, Tommy.
When I look back at all my favorite memories throughout life, all the craziest things I've ever done, Tom was there for most of them. It had to do with his over-the-top way of having fun and his subtle way of trash-talking you into things that you had thought better of. So you don't want to ski down that. It's not too steep, is it? You're not scared, are you? Along with his understated way of challenging you, Tom had this amazing childlike sense of mischief. I remember getting calls from him out of the blue many times, and instead of getting a standard greeting like hello, I'd get the filthiest explicative you could imagine. And at first I'd be shocked, and then I'd see him at the other end of the phone, and I'd realize that he had thought about that before calling and that he was just trying to see what type of reaction we'd get. And then it would become hilarious. One thing he didn't joke about were his feelings for Kimberly. Tom didn't open up personally very often. And when he told me she was the right girl for him, after they'd only been dating a few months, I didn't press him for details. What I did do was watch a profound change in him as he opened himself to true love and had somebody who loved him back equally. Their love made him grow as a person, and for me it was pretty amusing to watch him change from somebody who had always been indifferent to relationships to becoming a loving and caring partner. One of the things I watched over and over again throughout the years was the easy way that Tom made friends with other people. With his trademark smile on his face and a warm greeting, he could start a conversation with just about anybody. If he found something that you and he liked, you were his friend. It was as simple as that, and it was a true friendship. It could be skiing or motorcycling or enjoying a beer together. It didn't matter. It would build around that common interest, and you could pick up that friendship with Tom at any time. It didn't matter if it was a week later or 2 years later. And when you were with Tom, it was always good times. He would laugh and smile. And because it was Tom and he just had a gift for saying funny things and poking fun at everything. As I look out into the audience, I see so many faces of people that I like and people that I enjoy spending time with and who I think are cool. But the long and short of it is that what brought us all together was Tom's friendship. And I think that speaks volumes about his character. So one of the things that Tom and I had in common between us was a strong family structure. And whenever I was hanging out with him, I could always tell when it was his family who was calling. And as I got to spend more and more time with him, I could always tell which family member he was talking to. When his mother called, he would try to exude responsibility. And he would always catch me up with what was going on with his relatives. With his father, it was more like one of his buddies was on the line, and they'd often discuss hunting or dirt biking and skiing. The funniest thing for me, though, is when his sister would call, because he would just gush, and you'd hear all sorts of words of encouragement. He carried a great deal of brotherly pride, did Tom Carcel. He was always talking about his nephews, and he was always so pleased with his sister's accomplishments. So as we all look forward to the future, there's going to be some empty and colorless spaces ahead where Tom would have been with us, filling those spaces and making them complete. And I think it's important that next time that we come to a decision point, a crossroads where we're weighing the consequences of whatever the consequences are against having a really good time, just remember, Tom's there with us in spirit, and he'd say, Hell yeah, brother. Let's party.
Thank you, Sita and Mark and Chad, for those wonderful tributes. Troy, Tom's brother-in-law, will now sing for us Amazing Grace, accompanied by Michelle.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I have